is booming at Redding Heating and Air, and we have a simple philosophy. Our neighbors deserve elite talent. We are looking for the absolute best service technicians and installers in the North State.
That's right. We aren't just looking to fill a seat. We're looking for pros who take pride in their craft and care about the community we serve.
If you're at the top of your game, you belong at a company that respects your expertise. Because here, we take the trust of our neighbors personally.
We're hiring service technicians and installers right now. We offer the best compensation in town because we believe the best of the best deserve to be treated that way.
If you're a seasoned pro ready to lead in a company where excellence is the standard, we want you on our team.
No joke. We've got the work. If you've got the skills, come join the family.
Service technicians and installers, apply today to Redding Heating and Air. Visit reddingheatingair.com to submit your application. Redding Heating and Air, old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Good morning, Redding. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, by the Wounded Warrior Project, and by Ondas Holdings, LLC.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and as we celebrate our country's 250th anniversary, we need to do three things. We need to find out where we are, where we're headed, and then look back to where we were and try to figure some things out. And there's a new book out that that does exactly that. Award-winning journalist, lawyer, Supreme Court expert John A. Jenkins, four-time recipient of the American Bar Association's Gavel Award Certificate of Merit, one of the highest awards in legal journalism. He's the founder of Law Street Media, and he's got a new book out, Summer of 71, 5 months that changed America, and he joins us here in the National Defense. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great, Randy. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you know, this is a really interesting conversation. You look back, and it's a year before Watergate, right?
Yes.
And why do you say that's a crossroads in time?
Well, here's the thing. 1972 is the Watergate burglary. Well, first of all, I want to level set one thing. 70% of Americans were not born in 1971. Most, for most people, the history of this time, the 70s, when we had levels of corruption and abuses of power that are actually similar to what is happening today. We also were in an unwinnable war back then. And, you know, given your audience, I think, you know, let's talk about that as well.
Right.
But most Americans were not alive when this happened, and the history has been lost to them. So I wanted to bring that back. What happened in 1971? 72 was Watergate, the Watergate burglary in which Nixon's henchmen, so to speak, were going into the Watergate offices of the opposition party, the Democratic Party, to try to conduct a burglary on that operation and see what their plans were for the 1972 election. Then 1973, you have hearings in the Senate. I was there for those hearings. You have hearings in the Senate about the level of corruption in the White House. By the way, around that same time, the vice president, whose name was Spiro Agnew, he actually resigns because he's also corrupt. Nixon gets a new vice president that's somebody named Gerald Ford that's not even elected by the voters. And then 1974, there's the impending impeachment of Nixon and ultimately his resignation. So those three things are happening, but all the seeds for that was set in 1971. And, you know, I talk in the book about May Day, A1, 1971. These are 5 months, May through September. And the first thing that happens is May Day, which has tens of thousands of young people coming into the city to try to shut the city down. They're actually going to lie down in the streets. They're going to get in, attack, so to speak, all the commuters coming in on the various bridges, and the objective is to shut that city down. And one of the things that happens is the Nixon administration gives them permission to camp on the grounds of the Washington Monument. But then in the middle of the night, they revoke the camping permit and send in National Guardsmen to arrest everybody. And so 13,000 people are arrested and sent not even to a jail because they can't process them, but they're sent to a compound surrounded by a chain link fence outside of RFK Stadium, 13,000 people, and with no food, no water, no toilet facilities, no nothing.
I don't remember that. I was around for Watergate, but man, I don't remember that.
I was there. I wasn't inside the encampment. I was actually in Washington starting out as a reporter. I was a brand new reporter for what is now part of the Bloomberg empire. And I was sort of pressed into service because I was the lowest guy in the totem pole, but I was also available for anything. And I was sent in to cover some of these things. But no, most people do not realize this is what happened. And somebody that was an early reader of the book is out today. You can get it anywhere. But I had some folks that had advanced copies and review copies, and were looking at it. And, you know, in one sense, this is a precursor to, it's also a parallel universe to what's happening today.
Sure.
But this person said to me, well, wait a minute. We haven't gotten this far yet, right? I mean, we don't have the 101st Airborne charging across with fixed bayonets on the Washington Monument grounds. But you'll see in the book, there's actually a picture of that.
Wow.
This happened, right, during peacetime.
Wow.
And he said, so what you're saying is it could get worse. And unfortunately, yes, it could get worse.
That's scary.
It will get better because it got better before, but it could get worse.
Hey, T-Mobile recognizes the unwavering dedication and sacrifice of those who serve, have served, and the families who stand beside them. T-Mobile is committed to keeping military families connected through every PCS deployment and homecoming on America's best network. And they're proud to support hiring initiatives for veterans and spouses, strong partnerships with military organizations, and ongoing community investments that make a difference. Learn more at T-Mobile.com/military. Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data 2H2025.
Refresh your yard this summer with 4th of July savings from The Home Depot. Choose your power starting at $99 with tools from trusted names like Ryobi and Milwaukee. From backyard get-togethers to end-of-summer upgrades, 4th of July savings on cordless tools deliver the power and mobility to keep up with every job without slowing you down. Power on the go is here, and summer projects are easier than ever with The Home Depot. While supplies last, see store online for details.
Hey, let me tell you about our friends at Norwegian Cruise Line. They truly are a military-friendly company. They have a military appreciation program that was created for veterans, by veterans, with a mission to deliver amazing vacations for active duty military, veterans, and their families. The program includes a 10% discount off all cruises, plus special onboard experiences, and is combinable with current NCL promotions. So military families can get the most out of their R&R at the best value. Register today at ncl.com/military. Norwegian Cruise Line, ships registry the Bahamas and USA. Restrictions apply. Hey, National Defense Network has a new mobile app that you need to download right now. Just go to the App Store or nationaldefensenetwork.org to get your hands on the largest giving and savings platform on the planet. You can support our military veterans at the same time you're saving over $1,500 on travel, dining, vacations, and retail. You can get $60 off admission to Disney World and hundreds of other discounts. Just go to nationaldefensenetwork.org, download the app, and upload the savings.
Ford was built on the belief that the world doesn't get to decide what you're capable of. You do. So ask yourself, can you or can't you? Can you load up a Ford F-150 and build your dream with sweat and steel? Can you chase thrills and conquer curves in a Mustang? Can you take a Bronco to where the map ends and adventure begins? Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Ready, set, Ford.
Ondas Autonomous Systems is the U.S. leader in drones and autonomous systems for national and international defense, homeland security, law enforcement, and emergency responders. The company's best-in-class AI-driven drone platforms are deployed globally to protect and secure sensitive locations, populations, and critical infrastructure. Ondas is dedicated to supporting our military, providing a layer of security and safety for our troops, both at home and on the front lines. To learn more about their mission, their technologies, or careers at Ondas, visit ondas.com.
David is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Nice to meet you. My name is David. I've been a pharmacist for 44 years, and I'm from Flowery Branch, Georgia. When I first started taking Prevagen, I noticed stuff just seemed to come together and fit like a jigsaw puzzle. When I have customers come in, I recommend Prevagen. Number one, because it's safe and effective, does not require a prescription. And I've been taking it quite a while myself, and I know it works. I wouldn't recommend something like Prevagen if I didn't think it was worth it because it works so good for me. And I love it when the customers come back in and tell me, David, that really works so good. Makes my day.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
With over 20 years of generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post-9/11 veterans and their families with no-cost services, legislative advocacy, and more. And we're just getting started. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Join the heartbeat of our county every Monday at 6:35 a.m. on KCNR with the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief brings clear, local-focused updates and heartfelt discussions that unite our community. Got a story to share? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or connect via socials at Town Hall Brief on linktree.com to drop a DM. The Town Hall Brief, your community's voice for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
We're talking to John Jenkins here in the National Defense, the book, Summer of 71, 5 Months to Change America, and these other things that are kind of happening at the same time with the civil rights, women's rights, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, all of those things kind of combining. It does seem, John, I mean, what a time for this book to come out, because you're talking about something that seems like more than a 12-hour news cycle.
Yes. Well, so I began this thinking that what I would do is write a memoir. And it quickly became apparent to me, as it looked like Donald Trump would be reelected for a sort of a second term, By the way, unprecedented, almost unprecedented that this would happen with an intervening Democrat in between. But when it looked like this was happening, and then as I began to see how the second term would be run, I thought, this is a parallel universe. Forget the memoir. I'm going to show how what happened then is a parallel to what happened today, what is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can take some lessons from it too. Like where we had heroes back then, and I talk about the heroes. And if we had time, I would love to talk to you about that.
Well, I remember one of the heroes I remember is John Dean. John Dean was a very central character in that Watergate courtroom. And I'm sure that's probably one of the heroes you're talking about.
Well, I'm not actually. John Dean became a hero after 1971. John Dean was part of the problem and part of the issue in 1971. There, if you go to the website, summerof71.com, you'll see a 3-minute trailer. And one of the images in this trailer is a memo that John Dean wrote for Richard Nixon on how we could get even with enemies and do a job on them, quote unquote. That's actual. That's actual. That is actual. That happened in 1971. Now, Dean later becomes a hero during the Watergate hearings in 1973. And I was there. I had a seat at the table and watched John Dean testify. John Dean gave me a blurb for my book. I'm a fan of John Dean. So I want to make that clear. He was a hero in 1973 and 1974, standing up for the truth. And he gave me a blurb for my biography, the only definitive biography of Chief Justice Rehnquist, when that came out about a decade ago. Mm. But he's not a hero in 71. He's actually part of the criminal cabal in 1971 before he went over to the other side.
So who are the heroes you're talking about, John?
Okay, well, one of the big heroes is Daniel Ellsberg, who is a whistleblower. And another hero is Neil Sheehan of the New York Times.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Daniel Ellsberg and Neil Sheehan had both served in Vietnam. We talk about an unwinnable war and a war that that seems today to be problematic for us. Well, we lost 55,000 men. He lost 55,000 and had 330,000 wounded in the Vietnam War.
Wow.
And one of the things that is really important is that even though we lost 33,000 brave Americans under Lyndon Johnson in that war in Vietnam, there were 22,000. Richard Nixon came in saying he was going to end the war. We lost another 22,000 soldiers after Nixon was elected. So 55,000 plus people lost in Vietnam. Daniel Ellsberg and Neil Sheehan saw that. They saw what was happening, and they knew of a secret study called the Pentagon Papers that showed that Americans had been lied to by successive administrations.
Wow.
JFK, even Eisenhower, JFK, LBJ, not so much Nixon, but those three. And they made sure that story got out. It became an issue for press freedom because the government tried to stop the publication of the Pentagon Papers.
I remember that.
And we learn in civics about no prior restraint of the press. Well, guess what? The federal government tried to restrain the press from publishing that. And it ultimately went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, 6-3, are heroes in this case because they quickly took up the case and told the New York Times that it could publish. The Pentagon Papers is a huge drama in this book, and it reads to me like a novel. What I was able to do is take the FBI files, Henry Kissinger's tape transcripts, White House tape transcripts, and paste all this back together in a timeline that shows the evolving story minute by minute, day by day, and it's high drama.
Wow. We're talking to John Jenkins here on the National Defense's book, Summer of 71, 5 Months That Changed America. And John, for our audience, our active duty military, our veterans and their families, you know, it's very, very similar, eerily similar to what's going on now in Iran, especially with when comparing it with Vietnam, because that war was incredibly unpopular. This conflict we're in right now, by most polls, it's incredibly unpopular. And like you say, I mean, that was an unwinnable situation, and we'll see what shapes up in Iran. But I don't see much of an end game there either. And so, you know, it might be another 250 years before we find out the backdrop of going to war with Iran.
Well, exactly. Okay. So one of the things that's important is why this book now, because only in recent years have some of the documents become available, allowing the entire history to be told. That's another thing that's very important. And it will take time, but eventually we will get the truth about what's happening in Iran right now. I think the important thing for folks to know, I also want to say, as bad as it was in 1971, as traumatic as all of these events were, it also gets better, right? There were heroes. And when you look at what happened in the post-Watergate environment, there were reforms. There was a sense of democracy and reform that took hold for quite some time. There are cycles to this. We're in a down cycle, in my opinion, what I would call a down cycle right now.
Sure.
But democracy, for 250 years, we've made it this far. I have confidence that that there's an up cycle after the public realizes what has happened.
Well, and I think the thing that we have to remember and always hold on to, the constant between 1971 and Vietnam and where we are now, is still the very incredible importance of our military and our armed forces. And that has always been the case, that continues to be the case. And no matter where anybody is in politics, whatever side of the aisle you're on, we can all agree to support the troops, because that less than 1% goes out and defends us no matter what they're asked to do. And that has always been the case.
Absolutely. And I want to say, very interestingly, one of the protagonists in this book is John Kerry. Your listeners may think of him as a former senator, former secretary of state, but he was a Vietnam vet and he led a movement, and he plays a role in this book as well, as a man standing up, as a young man, a young officer, standing up, young Navy officer, standing up for the truth about Vietnam. And you know, I think that anybody that's involved in the active military today, veterans, families, whatever, you read this book and you see heroes even among even among those who had fought in a war that was so unpopular.
Right.
And you have to remember how were Vietnam veterans, how did they feel they were treated back then? It's very, very different from how they're treated today. They're revered today and
yes,
they're honored.
Yeah.
That war was so unpopular that it was hard to come back home and from the war and be accepted. John Kerry was one of the people that was standing up for it. So people that read that book will see that story as well.
The book is called Summer of 71. It's out today. 5 months that changed America. John Jenkins, thank you so much for the time, John. I can't wait to read this.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-659-7540. 800-659-7540. 800-659-7540. That's 800-659-7540.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons, premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
What shall we do about them?
Gold Leaf Nursery is open and has been serving Shasta County growers since 1975 and going strong. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? We have several varieties and colors, dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from. And right now, they're on sale and drought tolerant. It's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise shrubs and trees. Our summer sale is on now. 20% off all gallon and 15-gallon shrubs and trees. 25% off all 25-gallon trees. Need fast-growing trees, 3 to 4 feet per year, drought-tolerant? We have Polyanthemos Silver Dollar and Weeping Willows. Great for screening or fast shade. Don't miss the 20% off sale going on all summer long. Come check out Gold Leaf Nursery on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road in Dersh, across from Club Tucker Golf Course.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And Lucas Haas is an actor whose career spans more than 3 decades, beginning opposite Harrison Ford in Witness. He has since collaborated with some of the industry's most acclaimed filmmakers, credits including The Righteous Gemstones, which is so good, Babylon, Inception, Widows, Brick, and First Man. He's got a lot going on right now, and he joins us here at the National Defense. Lucas, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you, man?
Doing great, man. We, our audience is mainly active duty military veterans and their families. And, of course,
oh, cool.
Big week for us, big week for every American with the 250th anniversary coming up. Do you have any veterans in your family?
You know, actually my grandfather was in, he was in World War II.
Oh, wow.
I have pictures of him in uniform and he was somebody I looked up to so much. So, I feel like everybody probably has some veterans, right, in their families.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, when you when you kind of boil it down, we say it all the time on this show, it doesn't matter where you are politically or how you feel about different things. We can all agree to support the troops and, you know, especially right now. And so, yeah.
A million percent.
Thanks to your grandfather, man, the greatest generation for sure. But, hey, you got a lot going on here, Lucas. Man, you got a new single out called Ramblin', which is a cool sound, by the way. A very cool,
thank you.
Cool sound. Is that out now?
It's out now. It just came out a couple weeks ago. And yeah, I just heard this Hank Williams song. I'm like, man, I heard something in it. I'm like, ooh, I can hear a different melody a little bit, and it'd be cool to hear it a little fuller, you know, with bass and some different instruments. Because that old Hank Williams version, obviously it's, you know, sort of just the guitar, jangly guitar. And so I was like, you know what, let me try this. And it came out nicely. So I just figured I'd put it out.
Now, have you always been into music?
Yeah, I started getting into music at a young age, like kind of like when I was really around the same time as I started acting. I got my first drum set, and then I got a piano after that when I was like 11, and then started playing guitar. And
wow.
I've been making music my whole life. Yeah, but I tend to not put it out. And all my friends are like, man, you got to put this stuff out. So I figured I'd just pull the trigger, you know.
Oh, it's cool. I think that, you know, like you, people who stay curious and like to do different things, it just kind of, you know, kind of fills your life up, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's always a journey and an exploration. And, you know, you're always learning. And the truth is, in terms of music in particular, you know, you wear a lot of different hats, because in this case, I played all the instruments and recorded it myself and produced it and engineered it and all that stuff. So you're kind of learning a lot of different things as you're going and trying to perfect it and getting better and practicing and all the things that go along with that. And same with acting, of course. You're always... You know, it's funny. It seems like somebody was asking me if you've learned anything over these years, you know, all the years acting. And the truth is, you kind of keep learning. You know, you're always, and you learn and then you forget sometimes, you know, and then you relearn. And, so I think, it's that journey that I sort of thrive on. And it's part of just what keeps me going. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about this a little bit. This is it sounds so different.
Well, it is. It's so smart. The creator, Orin Uziel, he there's this comic book called Spider Noir. It's basically Spider-Man in the 1930s. depression. And so it's a black and white concept. And he really grasped that and decided to make it completely authentic noir. Which was such a cool idea. Yeah, I think it could have been really easy to do that, that Spider Noir comic and kind of make the noir aspect, you know, maybe a sort of side thing.
Right.
But in his case, he embraced it completely. It's got the hard angles, the hard lighting, you know, the dramatic costumes, and it's really authentic.
And you play this with a villain character, Silvermane's number two guy, who's a smart, loyal, and a sociopath.
Yes, exactly. Which was, you know, playing with, getting to work with Brendan, he's just like a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And such a sweet guy, too. And it was just a real pleasure getting to work with him, and also going to toe to toe with Nick Cage. You know, most of my scenes are sort of me staring him down and him staring me back down, which was intimidating at first, like my first day, I remember, you know, I'm supposed to be like looking at him like I want to kill him, and he's looking at me like he wants to kill me. And it's just like, man, I'm looking at Nick Cage right now.
You're right.
He's so cool, you know.
was that pretty cool working with him? Was he a good guy to work with?
Oh, he's an amazing guy to work with. He's so on top of it. I mean, he's a real artist. He's got this incredible charisma, and he's just he's you know, he's a special guy, absolutely. And the way he's so playful with his acting, which is something I appreciate a lot, because really after a while, you know, at first I was, you know, obviously a little nervous and stuff, but once you get into the flow of it, it became, you know, like we were playing with each other. And
that's
and
cool.
Once you get into that place, it's just like you're bouncing off each other and having these moments, and you can just feel the magic and the excitement in it. And that's when you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. And this is a series. It's going to be on MGM Plus and Prime Video, Spider Noir. And this is interesting. You talk about the noir aspect, but it will be available in both black and white and color, huh?
That's right. It is. It's in fact, at the premiere, they played the first episode in black and white and the second episode in color. So you got to see the difference. It was obviously intended to be in black and white, and that's how we shot it. Like, as we stepped off the set to watch playback, all the monitors were in black and white, which was a really cool thing also, because that's rare. I've never seen that, actually.
Yeah.
But the color version, it's almost like Technicolor. Like, it's really bright colors, and they did a very cool job of it, because it still feels authentic to the era.
You know, you're channeling Hank Williams. You're talking about this Spider Noir. Are you living in the 1930s right now, Lucas?
Apparently I am.
not a bad place to be, you know. Well, this is cool,
man. Simpler time.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, thanks for taking the time. Have a great holiday weekend, and happy 250th.
Thanks so much. Happy 250th. Thanks to all the veterans out there.
Thank you. We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
When customers walk into your business, the feeling they get matters. Fresh, clean paint tells them they're in the right place. Eagle Eye Painting helps offices, shops, and restaurants feel welcoming and professional. We work around your hours, keep things neat, and finish on schedule with clear communication the whole way. We're local, licensed, bonded, insured, and we're happy to work with you in English or Spanish. Give your business the fresh look it deserves. Call Eagle Eye Painting at 530-410-1317 for a friendly, no-pressure estimate. That's 530-410 or visit 530painter.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Got an old car sitting in your yard? Donate it to Reading Piano Angels. We accept all kinds of vehicles. Cars, trucks, RVs, boats, motorcycles, even trailers and go-karts. Thanks to local support, Piano Angels has provided over 600 pianos to families, schools, churches, senior homes, and nonprofits across Northern California. Donate today by visiting readingpianoangels.com or call 530-510-1903. That's 530-510-1903.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
A message from Todd with Reading Online Marketing.
Here's the truth. Your competitors aren't smarter and they aren't better. Their marketing is.
Reading Online Marketing has years of experience and results backed by real data to put you on top. For maximum impact, ask about exclusive KCNR radio and digital marketing packages. Put your business everywhere your customers are.
We are local and can answer all your questions. Call me at 530-378-4060 or visit ReadingOnlineMarketing.com.
And I went beyond just my own fleet with Ford. I borrowed cars from other individuals, and we divided everything between seven different categories, things that you'd recognize, 125 years of racing, building a better tomorrow, answering the call, which I've got a fantastic 1941 Ford GP on display for that one. American innovations, what more is more innovative than the flathead Ford V8? And I borrowed Jay Leno's 1934 flathead Ford V8 pickup truck. And for shaping pop culture, we've got a 1964 World's Fair Mustang. This is one of the Mustangs that was actually used in the World's Fair as part of the ride. There's only four of them known to still exist. And fashion, we've got Edsel Ford's personal Lincoln Continental, the car that the Frank Lloyd Wright said was so beautiful that he bought two of them. It's just going to be amazing, Nate. It's going to be 250 years of American history, and Ford is in our 124th year, so nice little story there as well.
Well, it really is, and it kind of drives home, you know, America's not that old of a country, and for Ford to be around for nearly half of our history, you know, and I want to not gloss over a lot of different things. We're going to kind of bang these out one by one. First off, Ford's contribution towards, you know, answering the call, that portion, their wartime contributions, is something that, you know, really shouldn't be overlooked. What sort of things, you know, in the past, you know, between, you know, Ford employees buying war bonds, you know, all sorts of stuff in service to the country, what sort of things we have on display that highlight Ford's effort to support wartime efforts?
Well, the 1941 Ford GP, which is a great story. Most people don't know it, but Ford actually designed the Jeep. The body style of the Jeep was a Ford design. The Ford Jeep, JP, or GP Pygmy, was the first one ever built. The U.S. Government wanted it standardized, so they put a Willis engine in it instead of Ford's tractor's engine because parts were more available for the Willis V6. So it went from the Ford GP to the GPW, W standing for Willis. So we actually have one of the four GPs in there. But then the Willow Run is the one most people are going to know, where Ford, for the first time ever, applied assembly line processes to the building and manufacturing of airplanes. And by the end of the war, we could build a B-24 Liberator bomber once an hour. But on the human nature side, we have a little display on the Victory Gardens that Ford would sponsor. And Rosie the Riveter came out of Willow Run as well. So, and then during World War I, not as many people will know, but Ford built approximately 5,000 ambulances for the Army that were used on the fields of France. So a long history of answering the call whenever the United States or our communities have asked us to.
Well, you know, and that's something that Ford has always been, you know, kind of relied on through the years. You skip forward another 25 years, we're building out NASA's mission control. What kind of role did Ford have in shaping us landing on the moon?
That's another unknown story. Most people don't realize that Ford was the main contractor at Mission Control. I always joke with the IBM archivist because IBM was our subcontractor. And Ford had bought Philco, and Philco Ford Aeronautics. I can't say that stupid word. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, we got it.
Was a leader in the field for space. We actually had more communication satellites in the orbit than almost any other business out there. But we played a lead role, and we have a couple of cool print ads and a miniature version of one of our satellites that'll be on display.
And that's one of the things about Ford that, you know, you guys have got a lot of really talented engineers and designers and fabricators. It's not just making vehicles. And, you know, pretty much anyone listening to this right now can remember 2020, Ford putting their shoulder in the effort in making respirators and making stuff to support, you know, folks battling, you know, COVID-19. It's always been one of those things that if there's a need, you know, in America, Ford has been there to answer it. We're talking with Ted Ryan, Archives and Heritage Brand Manager for Ford Motor Company, shifting to more fun things instead of war and disease and, you know, and landing on the moon, which that's kind of fun, but was not, you know, without being a little fraught on its own, is the racing. And I just showed my boys, we watched Ford versus Ferrari. Number one, I got to ask you, did you have any sort of consultation role in Ford versus Ferrari? I'm sure someone from Ford had to talk to the Hollywood folks and make sure they got the story right.
We did, and they didn't get it right.
They didn't.
We declined to participate because the script was so erroneous, but we didn't want it to be go see the movie Ford doesn't want you to see. So we did provide them with countless hours of footage and images and stills, but in the end, we walked away. It's a great movie. Don't get me wrong, Nate. I'm glad your boys enjoyed it. But it's a total work of fiction. Never believe one of those based on a real story
right.
kind of things because it's not too real.
Yeah, based on the catering manager of the Avengers Endgame, we've got this.
They did get the end right. I mean, Ford did sweep the podium in 1966, and we're celebrating the 60th anniversary of that amazing finish. And they did get parts of Ferrari. Enzo Ferrari did turn down the contract. I had that on display at Le Mans this year. But just in terms of the story, the basics were correct, but the details were all wrong. But I'm going to have an amazing vehicle on display here. I'm going to have the Bronco that won at Baja in 1968.
Oh, wow.
And what a classic vehicle. So, and then we're going to have one of our F1 Red Bull racing cars here. So, on top of the Jeep and all the serious stuff, there is some eye candy, a Red Bull F1 and a Strop Bronco, 1966 Unser, Bronco. It raced in 67 and didn't finish, won in 68. Raced in 69 and came in second place, driven by Pernelli Jones. So an amazing pedigree for a Bronco.
Well, that's interesting about the story. I'm assuming maybe they got the interpersonal dynamic sort of situation maybe wrong. Well, we won't have to get into that. But we do, Ford has been, you know, whether it's Bullet or it's any number of other films, Ford has had a role in making the Pope-mobile, right?
The Pope-mobile, the Pope got his own Bronco in 1978-79 when John Paul II visited. We took our classic Bronco, we painted it Wimbledon white, we put the papal seal on it, and they had some protections around it. And there's a famous photo that I'm going to have on display of Pope John Paul II at Yankee Stadium in his Pope-mobile surrounded by tens of thousands of adoring fans. There was another white Bronco a few years later,
yeah.
But I'm not. I do have a nod to OJ in there, but only I think I've got a headline showing the slow speed chase in there. But I give the Pope a little bit more airplay here.
I mean, they drive about the same speed, I think.
Mobile.
And I used to tell people I made up a joke or story. I may have stolen parts of it from somewhere else. Where talking about Ford discontinuing the Bronco, you know, an SUV on a car body, and then they brought it back and called it the Ford Escape in honor of OJ, and that's absolutely not true. Absolutely not true.
Not true. Don't attribute that one to me. But I do joke that both men were in Wimbledon white Broncos, but I don't think they're together now.
No, I don't. Al Cowlings isn't part of the, you know, the Vatican staff. I don't think, you know who this is Al Cowlings. The thing that, you know, my son dressed up as Henry Ford a couple years ago for his wax museum. We couldn't convince our younger one he was Nikola Tesla. He wanted more of the electricity thing. We had to say, you know, Nikola Tesla had nothing to do with the vehicle that you know of. But it's not just the mechanical and support, it's the social change that Ford has ushered in the 20th century, that $5 a day wage. You know, that was revolutionary in 1914. Do you guys have any information on that in this big display in D.C.?
We do. We call it the origins of a company and the origins of an industrial nation. And it's amazing because if you look at the timeline, Ford's founded in 1903. 1908, the Model T is introduced and at its low cost democratizes transportation. 1913, we perfect the assembly line and suddenly we can produce hundreds of thousands of the units and the cost goes down even more. 1914, the $5 a day wage where we essentially doubled the living wages, helping to create a middle class and in the meanwhile, kicking off the Great Migration or greatly adding to the Great Migration.
And then a lot of people don't know it, but Ford was responsible for the 5-day work week. A few years later, in the early 20s, we advocated for a 5-day work week instead of a 6-day work week. So think of all the impact that that had on a societal basis. And, you know, it had a large role in transforming America.
Yeah, it really, I mean, you had, you know, obviously rail from east to west, but there was not a lot of development. If you were more than 100 miles off of a rail line and getting, you know, having a Model T or having a vehicle, you could, you know, the Great Migration definitely kicked into gear. So we're speaking with Ted Ryan, Archives and Heritage Brand Manager for Ford. He's in Washington, D.C., and you could be in Washington, D.C. to visit the Driving America Ford exhibit there at Union Station, one of my favorite buildings in the whole country, Union Station there in D.C. Ted, is there one maybe often overlooked element to this exhibit that's one of your favorites you want to make sure that people check out while they're there?
It's not overlooked, and I referenced it at the beginning, but I love Jay Leno's car for a lot of reasons. Jay was fantastic, and he didn't charge us anything, and he graciously was like, oh, yeah, it's yours.
Well, didn't he have two of those? Isn't he like a little bit like Edsel? Well, he just bought two?
No, well, he didn't. In this particular case, his first ever car was a 34 Ford pickup that he bought at age 14, and it wasn't running. He said the only reason his dad let him buy it because it wasn't running. So he got it fixed up by his 16th birthday, and that was what he drove. So when he began to make it big as a comedian, he went back and he found another 34 Ford, but this one is hot rodded, and it has every aspect of America to me. And I actually have it in a case that has a Route 66 image in the background, and, you know, because the people took the cars and they made them their own. Mm-hmm. They personalized them, they hot rodded them, they worked on them. You know, it became a passion with the owners of the cars. So it spoke on a bunch of different levels, and I think it was just a perfect example. I also have an F-100, which was the workhorse and, you know, the second of the F series. So between Jay's car and the F-100, I think anybody who's a pickup fan is going to get their fill. One more just real quick is I have a 1951 tractor. Most people don't know that Ford built tractors because we haven't built any since 1989. Even having not built it for 40 years, we're still the number three tractor manufacturer in the United States.
Oh, wow.
By production number. The Fords and the 1917 Fords changed farming the same way the Model T changed transportation. Suddenly, it's an affordable tractor and anybody can get one. Yet another way that Ford impacted America that most people won't know, but we're excited to tell in this with this exhibit.
You know, my grandfather had a 1970s Ford tractor that I learned to pull and implement behind out in extreme western Kansas back as a kid. So it's just, do you ever wonder, like, if Henry Ford walked in and saw that Red Bull racing model, what would he make of the stuff that Ford is putting out in the 21st century?
I think he'd be fine with the Red Bull car because he liked racing. Actually, he didn't like to race, but he liked what racing did. Mm-hmm. And so I think he would be fine with the one I think he probably wouldn't like is Edsel's Continental, because he never liked those highfalutin cars that Edsel Ford was producing. One of the many areas where Edsel and his dad didn't see eye to eye. That'd probably be the only one that he looked at with a little bit of a sideways glance.
Well, he's a fascinating character, and the role that both he and Ford have played in our nation's history, you can go and check it out in Washington, D.C.
For free.
Yeah, for free. And that's July 1st to the 14th, so it's not going to be there forever. Limited time engagement. You know, we got to get Jay Leno his vehicles back to the mothership. But we appreciate your time, Ted, and enjoy your time. I should mention also, Union Station, air-conditioned. So,
it is air-conditioned. It's going to be 104 here on Friday, so I'm going to be looking. But one more plug to Nate is if people want to see videos, I produce 7 short videos on the cars, and you can follow me on Instagram on TedRyan64, and I'm going to begin posting them on July 1. So you can get kind of detailed breakdowns and views of some of these topics and some of these vehicles.
Well, yeah, for sure. And those Mustangs from the New York World's Fair, that was 64, right? 1964. Those videos are super cool. Like, it's got everything you need. It's got animatronic dinosaurs. It's got the Mustang. It's got New York City. It's got everything you need. So go and check that out online as well. Ted, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to The National Defense.
an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-432-3614. 800-432-3614. 800-432-3614. That's 800-432-3614.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.